90 The Fan, Blake Murphy, Ailish Porfar, JD Bunkus, I think. You there, JD?
Oh, I'm there.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm there. I'm here.
Yeah. You got strapped lost in my eyes for a second.
Ready to rock and roll. Ready to rock and roll. I got a little distracted because I was reading tweets and DMs from people who had their under the bus moments. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And sometimes I get a little distracted. And I guess maybe that's how we'll bring in our next guest. And I'll let you, James Myrtle, think about this. You don't have to answer it right away. But moments in sports history that come to mind when you think of someone getting thrown under the bus the way that Ron Hextall was thrown under the bus yesterday. So this Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's James Myrtle, Senior Managing Editor and NHL columnist for The Athletic. Good morning, James.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. So, did you hear my setup for you? I'm going to want you to think about that as you're going to have to answer questions about the Toronto Maple Leafs. I know it's a tall order, but I believe in you.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay. So let's start with the smoke that's around Toronto before we even get into this game, the Evander Kane stuff. Do you believe that Toronto has had significant interest in this player? Like, what does that process look like for them?
I don't know the answer to that, so I have to give you a wishy-washy answer. But what I would say is they're not one of the front runners for Evander Kane, even if they are showing interest, because, you know, that's just, I don't think he's not going to end up here. So, you know, I think it's, you know, Edmonton, there were talks with Tampa, Florida is on the radar. Those have been the three teams that I've been hearing about with Evander Kane.
So if he does end up in Edmonton, do you think that runs through what Connor McDavid thinks and if he feels comfortable with someone of that, you know, with that type of background entering the locker room? Is that a discussion you're having, or is Edmonton viewing this as a way to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, the Oilers are desperate. I mean, that's their situation where, you know, this was, they had really high expectations for this season. And they can't afford it to be another lost year for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, as, you know, another year of their prime, another year of their contract ticks away. So, you know, they don't have a lot of cap space. They bet big on some pretty strange bets in that, you know, 40-year-old goaltender, Duncan Keith is 37, 38 years old and with a big contract. Not a great look on their bottom six forwards. Frankly, they don't have a very good roster. They have two of the probably three or four best players in the world, and then they don't have a very good roster. So if they can get – Evander Kane's a talented guy. If they can get him in there for $1 million or less, I can see why they're looking at that, because they just – they really feel like they need something there to help them play a lot better than they have been so far this year.
Yeah, I agree. Edmonton, to me, is the spot that makes the most sense. You're living in a place where, one, there's going to be restrictions. It's cold and boring. Like, I don't know what you're going to get up to in Edmonton. Like, okay, you can go to the mall. Do they still have the, I don't know, you tell me, do they still have the big fish tank? They still put dolphins in there, whatever it is that's in the Western 12? Like, I don't know. I don't know how many times you could do that, what else there is to do in Edmonton. It's like, you're close to Calgary. That's Edmonton. It's a big suburb where it's freezing cold and dark here. Welcome to Edmonton. So you got that. And two is, yeah, you get to play with McDavid, shorter season, and that team has nothing to lose. If it ends up being a tire fire, who cares? It was already a fire to begin with. You're just, you know, one tire in the dumpster. But, some of the other teams, I think that it's too risky for me. I'll probably criticize some other groups if they end up doing it. And I was very, very surprised when there were discussions around Toronto, because to me it's like, no. Toronto seems like one of the dead last places that you would want to mess with the chemistry of the room. You would want to add a component like that. The reason you bring it up, though, is because the salary cap, right? They're a capped out team. And if you can add some depth, you try to do it. Because how else are you going to make something like this happen? How else are you going to address your forward depth without making a significant cap move? There's also this, too, and I wanted to bring this up with you, is from 32 Thoughts yesterday, quote, who knows how things are going to look when the trade deadline hits 69 days from now. Nice, which is great that Elliot threw that in. But at least one U.S.-based rental has indicated at this time he won't go to Canada under the current setup, end quote. Is that the sense you're getting, too? It could be a sleepy deadline for Toronto. It could be a sleepy couple of months, given given what their needs are and what the market suggests. But do you think that it is going to be harder for this team to attract players given what has happened here in this province over the last month?
Yeah, I mean, in the last 2 years, it has been. I mean, all you got to do is look back to what happened with Zach Bogosian and being separated from his family for a full season and just, you know, how difficult that was. And his hometown's just on the other side of the border. So, you know, you're going to have there have been players that have been adjusting their no trade clauses and things like that the last year and a half to basically take Canada out. Kyle Palmieri, I mean, he would have been a great fit for the Leafs last year at the deadline. And he's a guy that I was told his no trade clause basically just said no Canada on it. And you are definitely going to see more of that just because of the restrictions, because guys don't want to. You know, you get traded, the deadline's March 21st, you get traded March 21st. Let's say the team goes on a long run. I mean, it could be months and months before you see your family and you can go back over the border again. So that's definitely going to be potentially going to be a factor for the Leafs, yeah.
So Leafs come off what we discussed as kind of a disappointing game last night against Vegas. I know they pulled out a win in a shootout, but just didn't seem to have that same, I don't know, fire, that drive that we've been looking for without Marner. Are you seeing anything missing from someone like a Tavares, Nylander, without having someone like a Marner back in the lineup? And if so, what are some adjustments or who are some players you see that could make more of an impact?
Yeah, that's part of what I was thinking last night watching the game and, you know, even the Colorado game. It's one of the things that you notice is that Marner plays so many minutes. Like in a game like that, he would have played, you know, an overtime game, he would have played 23, 24 minutes in a game like that. And without him, you know, it was Bunting, I think, played over 20 minutes. Kasha was at 21 minutes. You're using different guys. And they did that while also, you know, Kyle Clifford played 5 minutes. You know, the fourth line barely played. The knock-on effect of not having Marner, and to a lesser extent, obviously, Engvall, is that the third and fourth line for the Leafs is it's just not giving you a whole lot. It weakens that checking line with David Kampf. It makes the fourth line one where you're really nervous about playing them against a team like Colorado or Vegas. And then all of a sudden you're really shortening your bench. You're playing against a fast team that moves the puck well, and they're at home and they're feeling really comfortable. And I didn't think the Tavares line had a very good game last night. And you add all those things up, and it's a lot of pressure on a lot fewer players. So it feels like sometimes on social media, people are down on Marner. You know, he hasn't scored a power play goal in X number of games and all this. But, you know, he brings a lot of things throughout the lineup. He plays nearly half the game. And when you're playing against some of these top teams in the league, you really miss him. That's part of what I think happened in the game against Vegas last night.
JD, this is a muted again. There you go.
This is a remember what this season was about game, which is it's all about the playoffs. And to me, that was just a reminder of, you know, the Leafs have flamed out of the postseason, and you know why? It's because essentially they didn't have Marner. He was a no-show in the last three series that they've had. And he at least played in those games. He wasn't there last night. But again, it's just that if you don't get a contribution from Mitch Marner against the best teams in the NHL, you're a step below them. And that's just what last night was a reminder of to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the way that the Leafs are structured, they need something from all of those guys that are making, you know, I think you can include Nylander in that group with the $7 million contract, but certainly the three guys, $11 million plus, you need them to be stars for you because there aren't that many teams in the NHL that are structured the way that they are. So, you know, I think the Marner's had a pretty effective season. I mean, the Leafs have a power play that's over 30%. They've been really good on the penalty kill. He's been producing at even strength, and I think that he really helps elevate whatever line that he's playing on. And, you know, the flip side to that is not just Marner. I mean, they need more from Tavares. Like, that was not a good performance from that line. William Nylander said after the game, he's like, yeah, I scored a goal. Yeah, I got the winner in the shootout. We didn't play very good, was what he said. And I don't know if the Leafs are still thrown off by the fact that they've played so few games over the past month. Like, what have they played, 5 or 6 games or something? And they've been all spread out, and it's been a really, really strange schedule. Now they're on the road. Now they're missing some guys. It's just the team sometimes feels like they're thrown off a little bit. And outside from some outstanding individual performances, you know, I think of, you know, Jack Campbell, Austin Matthews has been really, really good. They don't look cohesive. They don't look like they're back rolling the way they were before Christmas. And that's what they're trying to establish right now.
So you mentioned how spread out the schedule has been and how infrequently they've been playing. There's more of that ahead. There's after tonight, they play five times, or they have five games scheduled over the next 19 days, again, including no back-to-back. So Peter Mrazek will get the start tonight, his first one since December 11th. When you look at what the next 3 weeks look like, if you're the Leafs, are you continuing to just ride Jack Campbell because there's built-in rest there, or are you trying to find opportunities to get Mrazek a few extra appearances just to make sure he's, you know, steady and make sure he's back all the way?
Yeah, I would try and play him when it makes sense to. I mean, tonight's a complete no-brainer, right? Second game of a back-to-back, and you're playing one of the worst teams in the NHL and a team that you should be able to beat even on a back-to-back and even with your backup in there. But I mean, they're paying Mrazek $3.8 million for the next 3 years. He's barely played. So they need to get him up to speed. And the thing they got to be wary of too is, you know, Jack Campbell's at his career high in games played in the NHL. He's at his career high in wins in the NHL. And he has a track record of running into injuries and fatigue and wear and tear, taking him out of the lineup. I mean, can you imagine, you know, if Jack Campbell goes down with an injury, what everyone's going to be saying around Toronto, because he's been such a big part of this run and this season that they've had. So, you know, that's the danger you run into here, is you risk burning Jack Campbell out in January when, as you guys said earlier, this season is not about January. This season's all about April and May. So, you know, if Mrazek is rusty and loses them some games in January or February, I mean, who cares? Because that's not really what it's about. It's about making sure that they're ready. And I know, obviously, it'd be nice for the Leafs to win the division and avoid a matchup with Tampa or Florida in the first round, and that's going to be a priority. But another priority has to be that you want this Jack Campbell when you get into the playoffs.
So you think they play tonight because there was that weird thing in Arizona? They canceled practice, they did the precautions, and everyone went, uh-oh, and now there hasn't seemed to be any update on that I've seen anyways.
Yeah, I mean, how do I know? It's 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 6 o'clock in the morning in Arizona, you know, that they're going to wait and they're going to test all those guys when they get to the rink and hope that no one tests positive. But with the way things are, I mean, they've been canceling some games. Like wasn't the Philly game canceled like an hour before, or maybe not that, but it was a really tight turnaround where the team was in town on the road, and then they didn't end up playing the game. So, you know, that could happen. We'll see. I don't believe that Arizona has had a ton of COVID roll through the team. You know, some of these teams like the Leafs, where almost everyone's already had it, you're a little bit, I don't know if safer is the right word, but it's less likely you're going to get a shutdown. But there's still some teams that haven't had it, and we're still going to see more postponements, and it'll be interesting to see what it does to the Leafs schedule the rest of the way.
I think at this point, the most weirdly under-discussed storyline of the season is what the fallout of that is going to look like. James Myrtle, senior managing editor and NHL columnist at The Athletic, thanks as always for making time, man.
Okay, thank you.
See you, pal. That insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So, I want to talk to you guys about that. That is one of my fears. That is, you know me, I'm a plan for the worst, hope for the best kind of person. That's the way I'd put it. People view that as being negative. I just view that as being prepared. When we started talking about the Mrazek and Jack Campbell and how they're going to deploy and blah, 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 I think it was Mike Fiuta who brought it up with us, how there's going to be so many back-to-backs that it doesn't matter. That guy will get his minutes. That guy will get his net. And by that guy, I mean Mrazek. And we've been very distracted, fairly so, with lockdowns and no fans and no Leafs games and, you know, all the stuff that's come with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They finally come back. The excitement of having the team, realizing there's no fans in the building again, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, they're going to have to figure this out. They're going to have to put all those Leafs games onto a schedule. They're going to have to make them play these hockey games. That appears to be the plan. Last I checked, the NHL doesn't want to significantly move back the season. We've sort of looked at this thing as, well, the Olympic window. They're going to use the old Olympic window. The Olympic window is not a month long. It's not a month. It's a couple of weeks. So I'm starting to look at this thing and wonder, boy, for a team that is really needing to gear up for the postseason, for a team that needs Jack Campbell fully healthy, for a team that has players like Jake Muzzin, who were saying, let's hope that he's not worn down come season's end. Let's hope that we can try to manage minutes. It feels to me like this could actually be a pretty significant disadvantage for the Leafs, that they're going to be playing this many hockey games leading into the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are the hardest playoffs to go deep into because of the physical tax that it takes on the players.
So, looking ahead to the schedule, the Leafs have only six games over these next 20 days. Seven games over these next 20 days or so leading into that Olympic break. That will take them to the halfway mark of their season, 41 games. But what that means is that those 41 games, the second half, are all taking place over the post-Olympic break or what they can jam into that Olympic window. So before anything is rescheduled right now, they're projected to have 32 games in 65 days out of the Olympic break. So almost every second day. Like basically, you have some back-to-backs, you have some extra days off, but basically you're playing every second day. But they also have 9 games still to make up, and that Olympic break is only 22 days long. So you have 41 games to fit into 87 days, assuming that the Olympic break is no break at all. Like, they're not even going to take a week. They're just going to roll through and start building stuff. And if you take a week or whatever, then you're talking 41 games in 80 days. And then you're talking about an average of, hey, in an average week, you're probably playing a back-to-back. This is going to get hairy, and it's why I think over this next little window, like, yes, if you're trying to maximize every game, you play Jack Campbell whenever Jack Campbell's well-rested, but I'm probably trying to find more opportunities than just the back-to-backs to use Mrazek over the six games after tonight, heading into that Olympic break.
They're going to have to extend the season. Like, just saying that's not feasible. Like, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be issues if you have a game, a back-to-back, at least COVID. Once a week. COVID is going to happen. Like, the more time they spend together and they cram in these games, I assume the amount of COVID exposures will also increase. So I just don't see how it's feasible. I know the NHL doesn't want to play into July. Like, okay, we know that too, but I just don't see how it's possible without adding an extra week or two. Like, it's just a lot to ask for these athletes as well. Like, hey guys, you're gonna play a game every night and good luck.
I would like to say to our bosses right now that I'm not watching hockey in July, so figure it out. Wrap it up, because I already did that and it sucked. It was the worst. I'm certainly not watching it in August. All right, maybe we can compromise, but no, July 1st is signing season time. That's where you're at the beach and you're trying to refresh your phone on Canada Day with your friends going, what'd the Leafs do? You're trying to get Wi-Fi, right? You're trying to get a bar. You're trying to figure it out. One person announces the signing. It's like the olden days. You get back in a time machine because you're supposed to be with people. I'm not spending it indoors watching empty arena hockey in Canada. No, thank you. Please no. Please God, no. No. Please God, no. Either way, I just don't see how this could be good for the Leafs. This just all feels like it's culminating to a storyline of, well, what the hell? And this could be the next Leaf excuse, right? Because the Leafs have a lot of excuses when it comes to playoffs. Well, they didn't have Tavares, right? Oh, well, the pandemic and the season and the Columbus series. Oh, well, they, you know, Freddie Anderson blew it for the Leafs. Oh, okay. And the next one for the Leafs might just be, well, they had so many games down the stretch of the schedule. They ended up getting hurt. They ended up doing the thing. I can kind of feel that that in the ether.
Yeah, guess what, though? Right away, they're not even close to alone in this. Like, yes. The Montreal Canadiens haven't played in like a year, it feels like.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? Good news for them, though. They're not having to worry about the postseason this year. Hey, good news, Montreal fans. You won't be watching hockey in July. That's a guarantee.
Can't lose if you're not playing. But no, like, the Islanders have only played 28 games. And again, another team that's probably not concerned about the playoffs, but like Dallas, Boston, Winnipeg, Calgary, Minnesota, all those teams have played fewer games. Colorado and Carolina, all those teams have played the same or fewer games to the Leafs. So everyone's going to feel this crunch. Yeah. And I guess my big concern would be, especially if I'm the NHL and I'm really firm on not wanting to extend the season, which I think there's good reason for, is are you getting to the playoffs with guys too many injuries, right? Like we've dealt with this in the NBA before where, yeah, the resting guys and load management stuff has probably gone too far from the fan perspective when you're paying full freight to go to these games. But if you're an NHL team and you know you're making the playoffs and you're looking at, oh man, I have to play on average 4 games a week over the last 2 months of the season or whatever. It won't be 4 games a week, but 3.7, whatever it is. I'm certainly looking at, and we're talking at that point, not just goaltenders and juggling those starts. I think we're talking about then some of the older veteran pieces, like maybe you're getting a Muzzin a night off here and there. And that's when, you know, those are really difficult decisions for a team and a bad spot for the league to be putting, you know, their 20 playoff hopeful teams in.
Yeah, I wish they would do that because I don't think that playoff standings really matter. As long as you're in, it doesn't matter to me really in hockey. I don't know how many times we need to see this over and over and over again that home ice is not going to be a big issue. And the level of competition once you get there in the first round, it always feels very flat. Just go through the league and, yes, dominant teams end up higher up the standings. They win more Stanley Cups than the teams that are at the bottom for a reason. But in terms of variance of opponent, I've never really believed in it. I think that there should always be more load management if you're comfortably in the playoffs. But I always have a hard time believing that's going to be the case because of the way that hockey culture is. And because for a team like the Leafs, their contention, my guess would be, we don't want to feel like we're getting soft. We don't want to feel like we're doing something that isn't playoff mentality, which is resting players, and that they would sort of grind this thing out with, yeah, just about everybody that isn't a goaltender. I will say, though, that, yeah, they play 4 games in 7 days over the course of the stretch of the season. Jason Spezza might just become the Homer Simpson meme where he fades into the bushes and just joins the Leafs front office because he can't handle it on his legs. Just that's the end for him. It was the end for the streak of the Wake and Rake parlay.
Good while it
lasted. It was fun while it lasted, eh?
It's a tough one. The roast of DeAndre Ayton next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Blake Murphy, Ailish Forfar, JD Bunkus. Follow them at their names on their socials. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, all that good stuff. Especially because we've been giving you some decent picks of late. So a little thank you. That's all JD asks for is a little 5-star review, a little, hey, I really like JD in the iTunes or Spotify, where you can now review podcasts, apparently. JD put me on that.
I don't care if you roast me in the comments. You can just as long as you leave 5 stars. Who gives a crap? Yeah. I don't read them anyways. I just see the 5 stars. So, yeah, do those things. That would be awesome. That would be great. Again, the follows. And, yeah, one of the good things, too, about the Wake and Rake is you hit me with a DM, and I might just send you some free money to gamble with. So,
there you go.
You need it. You need it because I cost us last night. I switched my pick from the Phoenix Suns winning.
You didn't cost us. Didn't cost us. First of all, the Suns would have been a push. So we would, because at the time we were doing it, it was -4. So it would have ended up being a 2-leg parlay win, which is fine, but it's not the full. Like 2-0-1 doesn't feel quite.
A win is a win is a win is a win is a win.
I know. Ailish's Predators pick hit. My OKC +9.5 hit. Got a little favor there from Bradley Beal entering protocols, but OKC covered against the new lower line anyway. So whenever you got that, you were probably okay.
Wizards players fighting with each other.
Yeah,
great state of the franchise right now. Hey, guess what? Fade the Wizards right now. Might be the bet of the show right now. Moving forward is don't bet on the team where their two of their best three players that are active are trying to punch each other in the face and Bradley Beal isn't playing.
Unfortunately, they play the Magic tonight, so it might be a hold on that strategy. But JD, it's not your fault that we didn't hit last night. I would say it's DeAndre Ayton's fault. So your leg of the parlay was DeAndre Ayton for a double-double at -125. He finishes the game with 16 points, 9 rebounds. That's fine. You might think, oh, it's just a bad you know, it's just, oh, you missed by a rebound. No, the Raptors had 22 offensive rebounds in that game. Mm-hmm. And DeAndre Ayton had a really good defensive fourth quarter and made some real plays down the stretch. But for the bulk of that game, I don't think he had a rebound in the first quarter.
No, and he had one rebound at half.
He was content to just kind of float around 18 feet from the basket. So there was also, down the stretch, the Raptors lost an offensive rebound out of bounds. And it was one of those scenarios where multiple guys touched the rebound. And I double-checked this morning to make sure the double-double didn't hit. Because occasionally you'll have, like, the scorers change that to a defensive rebound, and then it's just knocked out of bounds instead of a straight out of bounds. And it would have been Ayton. That would have been the double-double. But no such luck. DeAndre Ayton, 16-9. We don't hit it. He enters JD's most hated.
This is why you need to watch games, and this is why Russell Westbrook, and I'll take this opportunity to dunk on Russ yet again, because he's one of the like most misunderstood players in any sports history. You have to watch games because statistics will lie to you. DeAndre Ayton played one of the worst games I've seen a center play all season, and he finished with 16-9, and so on paper you would look at that and go, oh, he just came back from COVID and 16-9 isn't bad. No. The dude was asymptomatic. Heading into COVID protocols, he was on record talking about how he's totally fine. And this is his second game back against a team that was deploying Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa, Justin Champagne, like very undersized or underweight players in Boucher's situation at the positions that he's defending. He was lackadaisical. He played without any energy. He played without any heart. He was completely a floater through that entire game. That first half was disgraceful from him. Truly. It was truly disgraceful. I thought he was going to get benched for the entire game. I really did. I thought that there was a moment where I went, okay, they're not going to play Ayton anymore. Because you said it. He's floating 18 feet away from the basket, sort of just like running out at jump shooters instead of hanging out under the rim when these jump shooters are like Raptors 905 players. It made absolutely no sense. He wouldn't squeeze rebounds. He wouldn't run out for balls. He wouldn't jump. He wouldn't box out. For him to hit the 9 rebounds, like, I'm not even mad that he missed it because it's missing by one. I'm more upset that he even got the 9 and that he gets to carry that stat over, because really he should have had like 4 rebounds in that game. Four feels like the right number for Ayton.
The Raptors grabbed half of their own misses when Ayton was on the floor last night.
Yeah, he was dreadful. Dreadful.
That's not just on him, but hey, that's not great.
Rebounding,
and it costs us the waking rate.
Rebounding is positional. It is intelligence. There is more to it than effort, but it's a lot of effort. Like, let's be honest, it's a lot of effort, and he had none of it. So for him to cost me all that money, you're in my I will not forgive you, DeAndre Ayton. I understand why you get the max. I used to have a thought of, when he didn't get that max contract, of what would it take for the Raptors to trade for this player? What would it look like, an Ayton trade where the Raptors go and get that guy? I'm off that take now. That's done. That's dead. That's buried. That will never rise on the show.
So a double-double that did hit, and it didn't hit the player props last night, or at least if it did, I didn't see it in time. It was one Ailish was looking for, and it was the Chris Boucher birthday double-double.
Birthday Boucher. Ailish,
you didn't manage to find that, did you?
No, when I brought it up during the Wake and Rake segment yesterday, I had a good feeling that Boucher would have a great night because it's his birthday, and I've been high on Boucher over the last couple weeks, but didn't see it in the betting apps. I think they knew they were going to lose big time, and they just didn't even provide it as an option. So
we should ask.
Sometimes you're so smart, you're smarter than the sharks, and they know not to do it.
I like that tonight we can bet on a Mason Plumlee double-double, but we can't get a Chris Boucher one. Maxi Kleber can get props out there, but Chris Boucher can't. It's the disrespect to Toronto never stops, right?
That's right.
So I will say this, though, that if there is an encouraging thing from the Wake and Rake, it's that it was a rebound off from hitting, and this now is yet another scenario where we jokingly but also hilariously have this thing of trying to find the trap door. What is the trap door? Because we are just consistently going 2 of 3 in these Waken Rakes. Can you do what is the trap door parlay? You know, that's one that I want to see people's slips. You can send those pictures to this show. Is if you do betray the Waken Rake, either you ride with the Waken Rake, which is fine. You ride with the parlay, send me that slip. If you don't ride with the parlay and you try to trapdoor it where you just do the two-team parlay, I also want to see those two. The trapdoor parlay is what I think that we're going to end up naming that.
Yeah, so of our last 15 Waken Rakes, our last 14 Waken Rakes, sorry, only one time have we had more than one wrong. So I know that that's not the point because it's a parlay and these are our best bets of the night. But I do think that there's a pretty good track record there of if we're missing one, we're missing only one. So, yeah, you got to pick the trapdoor. You got to pick who to fade. And all of us with pretty good records individually over the last little bit, it's just a matter of, you know, we're spreading the loss around. Although we did have back-to-back wins with a combined 7-0 over Friday and Monday. So it's been pretty good just outright as well.
I make absolutely no apologies, especially considering the fact that we like the Raptors. We talked about that. We like the Leafs. We talked about that. The Leafs do end up winning, even though it doesn't end up being the way that we wanted it to. But, yeah, winners, 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 winners. That's what we keep ending up with here. So let's start with today's. What do we like on the board? Let's start with you, Ailish Forfar.
Okay. Yep, I feel confident in a couple things. I will give some free picks out and not include them in the Waken Rake. How about that? Because I'm feeling like I want to give and get some good karma, and my heating will be fixed, hopefully. So the Canadians are playing their first game since January 1st against the Bruins, who are red hot. They're 7-3-0. They're on a 2-game winning streak. It's a home game for the Bruins. I do not see how the Canadians have a single chance in this game. The line is not super profitable, but a parlay piece possibly, or a Bruins on the spread. You can do Bruins -2, which is plus money, +140, so that they got to win by two or more if you feel very confident. But I think Bruins on the spread is a good parlay piece. I can't imagine the Canadians having much. They might be well rested, but I just think that they suck. So that's a good little sprinkle if you're interested. And I'm going to debut my just $5 bet as well.
Okay.
Just $5 on Austin Matthews to score 3 or more goals tonight is +2,000, which would give you $5, would give you $105 return. And honestly, it's not that far-fetched. He is playing in his hometown. The Arizona Coyotes are abysmal. I think the Leafs have something to prove after these last two games of a little bit of a letdown. Coyotes are in last place in the Central. I think that $5 could go a long way. Austin Matthews to get a hat trick. Stranger things have happened. There's my little $5 bet.
I like that. I'm gonna play it along with you, Ailish.
I like the Matthews one. I'm definitely gonna play that because just $5.
Yeah,
but
it's just $5.
The odds in a hockey game, it's kind of like it's just a principal bet for me, is -333 for the Bruins is so incredibly steep.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So it's still hockey, right? This is a hockey game. This isn't North Carolina basketball playing, you know, I was going to say Dartmouth, the Dartmouth Big Green. It's just, this is not that big of a talent discrepancy. It's still hockey. It's a game of bounces. It's a game where a goaltender can get hot. I just think from an odd standpoint, same with the Leafs tonight, right? Like, I hate this about the books. This is the worst thing about hockey. This is why I hate this about hockey is hockey. So much of the betting comes from Canada, right? Such a disproportionate number comes from Canada that you can't bet the Leafs against a crappy team like Arizona. -323 is insane. And yeah, Montreal, the overreaction there too is that Habs fans are not going, that Montreal fans are going to be aware of their team. They know that they're suck. Boston is a big betting market, and you end up getting just an insane line here. So, yeah, I agree. I think Boston probably wins. I think that some of those bets are good. I just think the value sucks. I just think it's so hard to bet those games.
But if you
baseball
bet,
does
at
this
least
too.
On the spread, you know, I guess that's kind of the best way to bet the Leafs today, if you feel confident about it, to win by, you know,
it's like they're
going to
be in. They're playing. I know that Arizona is dreadful. They're the worst team in hockey. But also, like, the Leafs are playing a backup goaltender that's played, what, a month ago? And they're coming off of a back to back, and they're coming off of two really emotional games against Colorado.
How about betting the over?
Yeah, potentially. But I will just. It's just, again, do I think the Leafs are going to win? Sure. Do I think that it's worth it to pay -323 juice for them to actually pull this off? Like, no, it's insane.
So, yeah, I had the over noted just to kick to you guys. So, Leafs on a back-to-back, Mrazek's first game in a month. The Coyotes are missing some players, including their top defenseman, due to COVID and injury absences. The Coyotes are dead last in goals against. Sorry, my cat just jumped on my keyboard. And the Leafs, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's you can get plus 100. You can get even money for over 6.0 right now. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that one? I know the Leafs don't they've generally been an under team for you, JD, but this is the worst defensive team in hockey, thinned out, and the Leafs backup goalie.
I like it.
I just think I'm going to stay away. Leafs played a lifeless game last night. My guess is that as positive as Sheldon Keefe is being, that there was a little bit of, hey guys, it got pretty loose. We gave up a lot of shots. Jack Campbell faced the most shots that he's faced all season against Colorado. And then you got drastically outshot by Vegas. Let's not let that happen to the goalie that is getting his first start in a month. Let's make sure that the group is tight around him. And I know I do narrative stuff with betting, but this just feels like that to me, where Leafs end up playing a bit more of a tight checking hockey game. They score a bunch of goals, but that this one ends up being closer to one of those, like, this reeks of a Leafs win 4-1 game to me more than it does this reeks of a Leafs win 7-3, 6-3 to me.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I guess Ailish, though, if you're playing the just $5 on the Matthews hat trick, that already gets you halfway there. Do you like the over a little bit more than JD?
I like the over a little bit better. And Vic just sent me a text that Bunting revenge game. I forgot that Michael Bunting had a stint in Arizona. So you could sprinkle a little, just $5 on a Bunting goal, but it's not in my crazy odds,
I really like Bunting. I really
like
Bunting.
But a Bunting plus 250 anytime goal. So that's pretty good.
Bunting plus 250 anytime goal for a team that is still missing. Maybe this goes the opposite way, but this is not only a Bunting revenge game. This is Austin Matthews. Like, you have your principle of Matthews scoring three goals because it's against not only a bad team, but it's in front of the Arizona crowd, right? This is him being home. Bunting is on the line with that guy. Matthews maybe going to shoot a little bit more. What does that result in? Maybe Michael Bunting being around the net, getting, you know, a hungry one and getting it home. So I like Bunting tonight. Plus 250 is usually his number, right? That's what it is? See, I think that's a good number. I think Michael Bunting got to score a goal tonight. All right, Bunt Cake, plus 250.
Is that your wake and rake?
No, plus 250 is a little too aggressive for a parlay for me, because I like, if the number has a 2 in front of it, I usually play that solo, right?
Yeah.
That the goal of a parlay, a good parlay to me, is to be something that takes multiple favorites or small dogs to end up winning for a big profit. I don't like parlaying multiple tough outcomes. I think it's already hard enough to hit a parlay.
What do you feel more confident in, a Phil Kessel plus 225 goal or a Michael Bunting plus 250 goal?
Weirdly, Bunting.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but yeah, Phil's not bad
do
either.
As you please,
you kind of have to play both. You have to do both. It's like,
I think you have to.
I told you yesterday that had Michael Abadio scored and you failed to remind me. Like, you, I'm sorry, but so we used to have a thing in university. And Blake, I think it's actually an East Coast thing, so you can tell me if this resonates with you, because I lived with a couple of guys from Nova Scotia, and I think they stole this from Anufi, which was we would say, "That's you," as in, if you had to call somebody, there would be a game of who is the person closest to that person, right? And it's "that's you," or you're somebody, right? So, for example, if you needed a favor from somebody that knew how to do work around a house, you would say, you're Ryan, right? And so your Ryan was, you need to contact this person. Ailish, you're the X's. As in, if there is ever somebody playing against the Leafs that played for the Leafs, you're bringing it to our attention, or it's a failing on your part. I'm sorry. Amadio is, we'll let Amadio fly because he didn't score. But had he, I, like I said, you, I
that's
feel
why
as
I didn't bring him up. I knew he was not going
to
be relevant.
Yeah, that's why. It's not because
did
he forgot about
that
his
he existed?
Existence.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, but that's okay. You from now on.
So, need some clarity from you guys. We just kicked around a couple different lines out there. Ailish, what is actually going on the Wake and Rake from you?
Leafs on the spread.
So, Leafs minus 1.5.
That's right.
And that's at minus 125?
I have it at minus 115.
There you go. Even better. JD, what are you throwing on?
Taking the Brooklyn Nets. It's a road game, and so you got Kyrie. I think Chicago is a little overrated.
Why is that game at 10 p.m.?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't really understand what's going on there.
10 p.m.? I would
it's
just
listed
it was at
10 p.m. I'm assuming it's a mistake.
That's a mistake. It's got to be at 8 o'clock. It's in Chicago.
Yes,
if it wasn't
I'm
in Chicago,
confused.
It would have been in Brooklyn. But yeah, it's on the road, which means Kyrie gets to play. And I like Brooklyn as a three-headed monster going against a team that, to them, will be a measuring stick game. To me, this is one where standings will matter. And although I was thinking about this, Blake, if you're Brooklyn, do you almost want to be a road team? Do you almost want to lose games? You want to tank the regular season so that you just, like, you're the 8 seed, you never have home court advantage, you always have the extra road? Why is that not discussed?
So, it has been joked around. Like, at the start of the season, people were like, yeah, the Nets will tank for the 5th seed and, like, do anything to avoid playing the Knicks. If the Knicks make the playoffs, or the Raptors, I guess, because he wouldn't be able to come here. By the way, that game is at 10 p.m. It's the second half of ESPN's doubleheader. That's not a mistake. It's because Mavs at Knicks is the earlier part.
Do you know how pissed I would be if I was from Chicago?
9 p.m. team? Local?
Yeah.
That sucks.
What? It's Wednesday.
Hey, we'll be up because the Leafs game starts at 10, so great. Well, we never sleep this week.
So quick note on that one. First, JD, are you taking Nets money line or are you taking Nets +1.5? But also, just as a heads up, Harden, Kyrie, Claxton, all questionable. Kyrie with injury, with an ankle, not a vaccine-related thing.
I don't like this stuff because it's always so
it's
terrible at 8:30 in the morning. My assumption here is these guys are all playing. That Kyrie's ankle is fine because it hasn't been anything that's overly reported. Kyrie, play some damn basketball games, please. I just want to see you play. James Harden, I don't know what his issue is. I hadn't even seen that he was questionable until this very moment of you saying it. I don't care about Nicholas Claxton or Nick Claxton. Like, whatever. It's your backup big. Yeah, great. I don't care. You can beat Chicago without him. The assumption is those two guys are playing. If those two guys are playing, I like Brooklyn. If two of those guys are not playing, I think it's safe to say that I hate that bet. I don't want to bet on just Kevin Durant and the nobodies beating a good Chicago Bulls team that will be up for this game.
So, yeah, we'll throw Nets on there with an asterisk. It's Harden's knee is what's bothering him. He missed Monday's game and is questionable for tonight, but not as
Can I give you a backup then?
Yeah, sure. He didn't have to go MRI or anything like that. So the context suggests he's probably going to play. But what's your backup?
Well, I'm going to play this too, and this is why I'll give it to you, is another NBA one. So I have a way of betting the Lakers this season that has been extremely profitable for me. Lakers play a horrific team. Bet them because they need those wins. Lakers play a good team. Fade them because you get a favorable line because the Lakers always just basically have too much juice. They're playing the Sacramento Kings tonight. It's still the Sacramento Kings, okay? The Sacramento Kings and betting against them has been very, 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 very good formula. I bet you this game is tight. It was last time. But ultimately, it's going to come down to a fourth quarter where you have LeBron James versus De'Aaron Fox. And at -2.5, I will always take that. So Lakers, -2.5. or on the money line, however you want to shake it down. I probably usually parlay on money lines. I don't like playing short spreads like that. So I'll just say money line. But, yeah, either of those two you can throw into the Wake and Rake today. I will own both of them, but I am getting the 845 caveat of I don't like the idea of no Harden, no Kyrie.
Yeah, so I've put it in the dot or in my little tracker here as Nets money line with an asterisk. And if Kyrie or Harden don't play, we'll swap it out for Lakers money line. This is a good reminder to always, we have to do this segment at 8:30 in the morning, but you do not have to place that bet at 8:30 in the morning.
Once again, though, Ailish is it's
hard. No, it's already locked and loaded.
Yeah, I know we don't practice what we preach. Ailish already has
votes. I haven't made my pick yet, so don't lock it in.
What's your pick? What's your pick?
So yeah, we're almost out of time. So I'm going. This has been a team that I've bet a lot this year, but I've actually only used them in the Wake and Rake once, so I don't mind going back here. Cavs are +6.5 at the Jazz. The Jazz still don't have Gobert. Rudy Gay's out. Joe Ingles is questionable, and if he plays, it'll be his first one back in a while. This is the middle of a tough road trip for the Cavs, but they're not on a back-to-back. They're getting back to health. Like, most of the guys you'd want to see back are back. They've only won once in Utah since 2009, which doesn't mean anything because it's not this roster. It's just, like, a funny thing Cavs fans are hyper aware of. But the Cavs have been good eating against the spread. The Jazz, with no Gobert, have really struggled defensively, and you're getting 6.5 points here. So I'm going Cavs +6.5 as my leg.
I like it.
So all we got Cavs +6.5, Leafs -1.5, and then the Nets money line with the Lakers money line as a backup. That's your Wake and Rake for today.